For after I've rambled here a little bit, I'd like to open it up for your what are ways that we can encourage each other? How can we pray for each other, regardless of what our status is in the family, married or single? How can we, what scriptures can we use, and what, who, how have, are there people that you can, that you think of, that you would like to hold up as examples for faithfulness? And so we'll get to that. It's kind of a warning on that one. But there was a number of reasons, I suppose, my thoughts went toward the direction of family. This is the time of the year. Both Mary Jane's parents and my parents died this time of the year. I think Mary Jane's parents was in 04 and mom died in 18 and dad in 21. But it's just kind of the time of the year. And so I suppose there's nostalgia and just plain missing them that I think of this time of the year. And in connection with this subject, you know, we have a gift when we have people who, like my parents, and others of you have parents who have been married that long, but if mom would have lived another six weeks, dads would have been married 68 years. And 50 years isn't uncommon for our group. And it's an amazing gift that example is. There's a lot of confusion in our time. And while I'm reminiscing, I remember it was a week or two before I got married. My mom wrote me a little note. And she admonished me in a few things, which I'm supposing you won't find hard to imagine, knowing mom. But one of the things that she said that just kind of has stuck with me, she said, "I'm glad I married your dad." That's a gift. There's a lot of security in that. And we have, with that kind of values, with those kind of values represented here, we have a lot to offer people who don't have that. There's another article that I read. There was an article I was reading, I think it's one of those Plain Communities Business Exchange catalogs that came around. And this was an old order preacher, and he said in his, in the article, I don't know if he was quoted or if he wrote the article, but he said in his experience, about a third of the people in his sphere of interaction, about a third of the marriages that he sees are good, solid, biblical marriages. And then there's about a third of the marriage that just kind of exists, but it's not right to separate, so they stay together. And about a third might as well be divorced. There's no reason for them to be together. And I think that's just about as sad as it gets. I guess it could be sadder if all three would be in the latter category. And I don't know how those, you know, if somebody would take a similar poll in our church, how that would, what they would say. I would hope it would be much better than that. But, you know, human nature is human nature, and we are living in times when the battle for integrity in marriage and in the family is attacked, and we're not immune to those influences. And other reasons, I suppose. I interact with a lot of people on my route, and I know one family, and it's a young family. I think their daughter is 5 or so, so it's a young family. And the wife of this couple has had a number of affairs already. And then there's another couple that I know where the husband, and this is also a young family, I think their oldest son is 4 and their youngest daughter, they have 2 children, is 1. And he says, then the husband, Kent, he says, well, I just don't find my wife as attractive anymore since the last baby was born. Just, you know, baby fat and all that kind of things. And I wondered about that one. I suppose men don't get old and become unattractive. I don't know what a bald head and bags under the eyes and maybe an oversized stomach that you cannot attribute to baby fat. But seriously, though, there's no reason, as far as God is concerned, this incidentally is a godly young woman, there's no reason at all, as far as God is concerned, that that young woman can't be the most gorgeous woman God ever made in the eyes of her husband. There's no reason at all. And there's some heart change that needs to take place. And so those are the kinds of things that have been going through my mind. And, you know, whenever I go past those places, I use those kind of, you know, that customer, okay. I use those as reminders to pray. And I kind of like to think maybe my prayers do make a difference. I hope so. And I am supposing in your interactions with people, you could come up with some pretty similar ideas or stories. Okay. About can't read my writing, but here. something I would like to think about is why? Why is marriage? Why is the family? Why is there so much pressure against it? Do we have some ideas on that? Harry and then Merle. I don't know which one was first. Up here in the front, Michael.
Ephesians 5 tells us that marriage is a type of Christ in the church.
Okay.
And so it stands to reason that that image is repulsive to Satan, and he wants to mar it wherever he can.
Okay. Is that what you were going to say? All right. Okay. And you know, Nelson.
I was reflecting on my own weaknesses as a husband and father. And while I'm sure I can blame prevalent culture a little bit, it's mostly me.
Okay.
So I think Christians today, we hear a lot about how the culture is against marriage, and that is not the reason that marriage in church is not glorifying God. It's human selfishness, it's churches compromising, whatever it is, but it's I think it can be a little bit of a false flag to just blame prevalent culture. That's what the problem is.
Along with what Harry said there, you know what porn, for example, does when it throws the mix that it does when you become involved, that it throws dirt and mud on the picture of that relationship with Christ and the church. And I really think that this whole thing of sexual purity for both single and married people is a picture of Christ's relationship with his church, perhaps from a different angle, but it is still a picture of Christ being one with his people. And we must guard our hearts. Something I was going to say about the man who didn't find his wife attractive. He can't understand why an occasional indulgence in porn is such a bad thing in the eyes of his wife. I think that also needs a change of heart there as well. So the purpose of tonight is to bring our families to God, to encourage ourselves. If we have scripture or other comments, I'd like to open up for that. There's a paragraph I'd like to read from an article by Aaron Cerrone, who wrote about the what was the name of the article? Expanding Our Vision of the Seventh Commandment. And in this article, he says he would like to paraphrase that commandment as, "Be thou faithful, thou shalt be faithful." And he says this commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," is actually stated twice in the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." So God thinks highly of marriage and family. But in the beginning of this article, it was an article in the Journal of Biblical Counseling, a magazine that we get. This is what this Aaron Cerrone says. "As a married man, working with infidelity has chastened me and brought me to my senses time and time again. It's destroyed fantasies and delusions our culture promotes about adultery. Personally, one of my deepest fears is inflicting the pain and agony of adultery on my dear wife, children, and family and community. I'm learning that it's one thing to pray that I won't commit adultery. It's another thing entirely to pray each day to be truer and truer to my wife in the eyes of God. Even if I manage not to commit adultery, I am forced to ask myself, have I truly been faithful? Have I applied myself to all this commandment requires? Would my wife say that I'm growing in integrity and that I am genuinely content and delighted in her?" And he's getting at this whole thing. We are weak. We need, and we're prone to sin. We are selfish. We have to take care of those things. And so sermons like we heard on Saturday and the sermons that Arlen's been preaching in 1 Corinthians have been very helpful, and those have also contributed to my coming up with these, with the idea of spending time in prayer for our families, for our marriages. And so I'd like to open it up now. What are scriptures that you would have that would be good for, that would encourage us all to be faithful? What are examples of people that have helped you? How do we pray for our families, individuals, or in our, I'm just going to leave it that. What would you, I'm just going to open it up, and what would you like to say? Merle?
I don't have a scripture, but it is scripturally a principle that is scriptural commitment. We usually think of commitment to each other, but I think the foundation for that is a commitment to God and the truth of His Word.
Okay. Okay. Dwight?
Okay. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it.
The example I gave doesn't quite come up to that, does it? Okay. I remember. Oh, go ahead, Ellis.
We can pray that our homes are places where children meet Christ.
Okay. Along with that, I remember, this is before I was married, and I was volunteering at the prison at that time, and I looked at some of the examples of people that I was interacting with, of those who were incarcerated, and that put a bit of fear in my heart about the whole idea of getting married. And I remember confiding in somebody, and he kind of brushed it off and said, oh, God takes care of your fears. He takes the fears away. Well, God did eventually take those fears away. I did get married, but I felt a little more lectured than listened to in that conversation. And I'd like to suggest that maybe ways that we can help each other. How safe are you to confide in? Do you know how to listen? I suppose I am not the only man whose wife has said, you're not listening. And I've learned a lot from her on that. And I remember something else. I think Laverne gave me a book. It was a man who wrote letters to his son before he got married, and also a book that had letters, and the letters he wrote to his daughter was named Letters to Karen. I'm not sure what the name of the book was, but a man was just wrote a series of letters to his son as his son was getting ready to get married. And one of the things that stood out to me as I read that book was this. It says, treat your wife like the queen she is when you're with her, and at least that when you're away from her. God expects me to be sold on my wife when I'm with her or away from her. And so, other comments you'd like to make? Nelson.
I've been thinking recently of it's again not a scriptural quotation directly, but obviously it's a very scriptural principle. The excerpt from the prayer of St. Francis, or at least attributed to him, that I may seek first to understand, not to be understood, and challenged by how badly I do at that sometimes. And I think the closer the relationship, the more that is challenged.
Okay. Nathan up front.
I had to think of the verse, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful.
Okay.
I think the faithfulness in marriage really shows the faithfulness of God.
Okay.
He gave that promise. And it made me think of, and I think we don't often underestimate the value and the power of faithful marriages. I think back when I was a boy, we had an older couple living in our house for 2 years with us. Daniel S. Bontrager's, and they had a few rooms in the cell, but basically lived in with us. And that was a very positive time for our family.
Uh-huh. Okay.
A scripture in King James says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not.
Okay. One that comes to my mind is, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, I'm not getting the order right, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there would be others. But we do have the wonderful privilege to represent our Savior, no matter what our marriage status is. And God delights in us, and he wants us to delight in him. So I think, unless there are other people that have some scriptures that you'd like to bring up now, we'll just go into prayer. I don't think I will take any prayer requests. We'll just open it up, and if there are scriptures that you'd like to read in this prayer time, go ahead. And I would like to pray for every part of the body in this. We need each other, and there's no one that doesn't have a part to play in representing Christ and his church to a society around. So let's pray, and I will close after a while.
So to let you do that work more fully,
Father in heaven, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the work you want to do in our lives. I pray that you would hear you, that we would allow you to make of us what you want us to be. We need you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and just finish it.